Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Stanwell Resources Investor Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question via the phone, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you wish to ask a question via the webcast, please enter it into the Ask a Question box and click Submit. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Brett McKay, Head of Resources at Petra Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining the call this morning. We're here to talk about Stanwell Resources' transformational acquisition of BHP's interest in the BMC assets. On the line to talk us through the transaction is the CEO of Stanmore, Marcelo Matos, as well as the CFO, Shane Young. I'll hand over to both Marcelo and Shane to walk through a few key slides in the presentation deck. It's quite an extensive deck. It has been made available on the ASX platform for you to review in full detail. But we'll just talk through a few key slides this morning and obviously take some questions and answers post the presentation. Thanks for your time, and I'll hand over to Marcelo. Thanks, Marcelo.
Thanks, Brett. Good morning, everyone. I think it's quite an exciting day for us. We're getting very close to conclude this transaction. It's been a huge task to date, and quite a transformational deal for Stanmore. Perhaps I'll start just with a quick introduction on Stanmore, for the ones that are not so familiar. We are a metallurgical coal producer, ASX listed, obviously, in the market cap just north of $300 million at the moment. The ownership structure is comprised of Golden Energy and Resources here. At the moment, they have 75%, and as per the details of the offer booklet today, they will, I mean, with their contribution of $300 million into this offer, they will be diluted down to approximately 64. Still a major shareholder, a very supportive shareholder to the business since the change of control back in 2020. And obviously, they see Stanmore as a platform for growth in the medical space. In Australia, especially in Queensland, hence, of course, their support to have this transaction funded when we signed up with the BHP. Our flagship operation is the Isaac Plains Complex at the moment. We are, as we speak, we are transitioning our operations to Isaac Downs. It's going to be a complete game changer for us as well in our existing footprint. Given that 2020-21, in transition years, as we like to say, 2021 was a year of two tails with the first half of the year. Still very heavy-weighted with Isaac Plains East, and of course high cost and high strip ratios at the market that was still very, very, let's say, pressured with low coal prices. In the second half, a much better half, where with the Isaac Downs ramping up, lowest strip ratios benefiting our volumes, but also our cost base. That process is now fully transitioned. The project is being concluded on time, on budget, and by March, we're going to be basically fully operational in Isaac Downs with a very good year ahead of us with the 6-to-1 stripping ratios in Isaac. I mean, that's basically what our current footprint is. We also acquired the Millennium. I'm just jumping to slide 2 of the presentation, where we have a snapshot of the portfolio. In the right side, you see the existing assets, which is the Isaac Plains, as I said, 2.4 million tons per annum of production capacity. We are actually expanding our CHPP, our wash plant, and that will allow us to benefit from potentially additional tonnage in 2022, given that we're going to be uncovering coal very fast with our with the drag line in low stripping ratio. So there is an opportunity there to wash more, especially in the second half. So there's a potential upside there with that upgrade in the wash plant. Just around 20 years of life in Isaac Plains between the Isaac Downs project, but also the underground project that we have in the N1 pit in Isaac Plains North out of the exposed high walls. Millennium is a transaction we concluded last year. It's quite an opportunistic acquisition from Peabody. We've done that deal. Prices were a lot lower, and we sold the first vessel in December. Prices were already north of $400. So it's a market move our way, and it's a smaller project. We're targeting an underground place change project there with two continuous miners producing around 1.4 million tons of chrome and 1 million tons of export products. For the moment, we are producing some open cut coal and auger out of the high walls, auger mining, basically to transition us into the underground. That's what the Millennium concept is. Things are going progressing very well. The mining service agreement has been awarded late last year. And on the left side of the slide, obviously, then it's the DMC portfolio, the two open cut operations, South Walker Creek and Poitrel. South Walker, a world-class asset, a very large reserve base, with a capacity to produce just north of 6 million tons of product coal per year. So it's a low-vol benchmark PCI product. More than 60 years of reserve, potentially. We developed our business case based on a 25-year life of mine plan. We built bottom-up, quite confident on the achievement of that plan. Poitrel is a different mine. While South Walker runs, it's a very long strike mine with running two drag lines. Poitrel is a more compact operation, truck and excavators producing just north of 4 million tons per annum, around 10 years of mine life, with an opportunity to extend, and of course, a coal price, high wall, auger mining. So there's a few opportunities there, but the current life of mine is around 10 to 11 years. It's a mix of a semi-hard coking coal, as a primary product of 60% with the PCI, a mid-vol PCI as a secondary product. So these are the two flagship operations, and then we have also the Watswell project, which is an undeveloped resource, over 1 billion tons of premium hard coking coal. So it's the next generation project in Queensland. Obviously not something we're focusing on the short term. But premium quality coking coal, quite an interesting project for the future as a potential replacement for Poitrel. Or even if we can creatively approach the project, partnering with the neighbors that have existing infrastructure available, for example, to minimize the capital requirements for the project. Just following through, I think slide 3 has a quick overview of the recent history with the milestones achieved. It's quite a busy year since the change of control, when we basically transitioned our existing operations to Isaac Downs, approved the project, built Isaac Downs, at the same time doing these two transactions. Especially, of course, the DMC one. It's over a year now. Concluding, hopefully, in the next, by the beginning of, not later than the beginning of May. That's our plans. Of course, the focus now is deliver on Isaac Downs. That's going to be fully de-risked and benefiting from low strip ratios in 2022. Commence Millennium Underground. That's, of course, that we're targeting for July, August, start of the underground, and obviously DMC concluding the deal, integrating the assets, and extracting value, delivering value out of those operations, including the synergies that we've identified. Just next one, it's just the key highlights of the transaction. Of course, from a scale standpoint, quite a transformational transaction for us. We put us in the big boys group in the met coal space, one of the largest producers of met coal in the world and in Australia for sure, with the four operations basically Queensland within 50 kilometers from each other, three of them open cut, with no major risk from the angle of capital or project approvals. So, and including market, the products are quite well established. Completely, of course, a complete game changer for us from a scale standpoint. Value-wise, you see the size and how much cash this business is making. So, second half, EBITDA, calendar year of $500 million. We expect these numbers to be a lot higher now, although they haven't been disclosed yet by BHP. Strong cash-generating business. Very de-risked, as I said. Assets of very high quality. Portfolio of infrastructure built by BHP, so the high quality wash plants, two world class wash plants in Red Mountain and in South Walker Creek, two drag lines, a very large fleet of mobile equipment, 50,000 hectares of land, and of course a group of people. So they mind, I mean, DMC is coming fully operational by day one. From a product standpoint, products are pretty well established. They've been marketed for many years, very well known to traditional buyers. They are well contracted, we expect a pretty smooth transition from a marketing standpoint as well, given that most of the customers are existing customers of Stanmore, quite familiar to us. And the synergies that we've identified are quite interesting from infrastructure sharing, like the utilization of spare capacity at Red Mountain that benefits Isaac Downs and Millennium, for example, but also be an opportunity for future corporate activity, given that it's a very strategic infrastructure position in the basin, and we don't see a lot more new greenfield infrastructure being built going forward. From an ESG commitment standpoint, I mean, Stanmore, of course, we have our commitments and to be a responsible producer, and these operations, we've done extensive ESG DD in these assets, and we were very happy with what we've seen with the performance to date, and of course, our commitment is still to keep honoring the rehabilitation obligations, but of course, the good neighborhood with the owners and with the local communities in the area. Just moving forward quickly, management and board. Our board is basically a board at the moment of six directors. There's a vacant independent seat that's being replaced. Hopefully very soon they're going to announce a new independent. Good balance there between shareholder representation and independence. Including myself, and the management team that's quite well versed, quite experienced from all this mining spectrum, from exploration to project development, project construction and operations, marketing, sales and logistics, and of course finance, and business development. So both of us have worked for big companies. In our careers, they're quite familiar on what to expect when we're buying operations from BHP. Obviously, our focus going forward is to ensure that the Stanmore operating model is is implemented. We run a much simpler business, a much leaner business, and we want to ensure that that model is, of course, transitioned and implemented going forward. We're busy planning that integration as we speak, and things are going very well with the separation process working group with BHP, but also on our side on planning how to best integrate those assets into our model. I will just jump through vision, mission, and values. I think it's perhaps just relevant to say that they have just been reviewed and revisited by the board, so these are freshly approved. We thought that this was a requirement, it was more than overdue post change of control. The company has changed a lot, and we thought that it was appropriate to revisit those, and these are now official in our website as well. I won't spend too much time on the introduction of GEAR. GEAR is a Singapore listed investment house. Businesses in mining and renewables, they include thermal coal, met coal, and gold for the moment, and controlled by the Sinamas Group, which is an Indonesian family conglomerate, quite diversified as well. But just jumping through the BMC acquisition section, I think I spoke mostly on the description of the assets. South Walker in Poitrel and Wasswell, as I said, a very large reserve base, and the probably best jump to slide 17 on the transaction highlights.
I can touch on the transaction summary if we like. It's
sure.
quite a simple transaction, really. A shared purchase arrangement through 100% owned holding company, Stanmore SMC Holdings, purchasing the shares in Dampier Coal from BHP, who owns in turn 80% of BHP along with Mitsui. Purchase is basically a cash deal, $1.1 million on completion, $100 million payable in 6 months, which is not contingent, and then a contingent payment of $150 million in 2 years' time, which is contingent on an average sales price being achieved. There's a certain threshold or trigger that is in there, the average of the pricing actually being achieved over that period, and then the amount will be calculated from there based on a revenue sharing or profit sharing amount beyond that trigger. That's payable in 2 years as a lump sum, not on a basis across that period. On the following slide, in terms of acquisition funding, a combination of debt and equity. The deal was fully funded as at the date of signing the SPA back on the 8th of November last year. And since that time, we've signed and executed all the definitive documents for the acquisition debt funding, $625 million US, 5-year facility, amortizing over that period with a fixed interest rate of 11.5% per annum. There are mechanisms in there with a pick toggle on the interest, which will enable us to give us some flexibility if prices were to dip. And likewise, there's a cash flow sweep mechanism, which allows us to automatically amortize the facility quite quickly in times of high prices, as we're experiencing at the moment. The other side of the equation, of course, is the acquisition funding via the accelerated renounceable pro rata entitlement offer, which is why we're all here today. And then we've got internal sources made up of existing cash flows and facilities that we have in place, including the newly announced $120 million US revolving credit facility, which we put in place today.
Just jumping to the next one on integration. As I said before, we are buying the shares, as Shane explained, the shares of companies controlled by BHP. So that company is fully operational. It's an incorporated joint venture. So day one, we have a workforce, we have a contract. Some contracts are not coming because they were BHP group contracts, so there's quite a task force to procure some of those. Obviously, there's the target and the agreement with BHP is to have BMC fully operational, so it includes all spares and supplies and all requirements in place to have that entity independent from day one. Sales contracts, of course, are a critical component, so they are being placed by BHP as we speak for the Japanese fiscal year starting in April. We've been kept up to speed with those commitments. We are pretty confident that there will be a good coverage in the sales book by completion. We're going to have to stand up for some functions that we will not come from BHP. And given that until very recently we were mostly a management team managing a contractor that was running Isaac Downs, we need to step up some functions. They include some central technical services functions, they include procurement, for example, that we were not doing large scale until now, and some corporate support, increased corporate support to the assets as well. Again, targets to keep it simple, keep it mean, with a site-centric focus, really, and have a small Brisbane-based structure just supporting operations and to ensure they have the support they need to achieve their results and get stuff done on the day-to-day. We will have a transitional services agreement with BHP. Of course, our intention is to make it as short as possible to be able to stand up on our own. And one of the key points is, of course, the development of our own ERP platform, SAP, which is being implemented. And the TSA is basically aimed to ensure a seamless day one, to ensure it functions without disruptions, given where the market is. The last thing we want is disruptions on day one. On our operating model, as I said before, keep it simple, lean and agile, a much more capitalized approach to projects, and looking at simplification of processes to make sure that we keep the agility of the business and of course, looking at the cost improvements as well. There are low-hanging fruits that we are identifying that we, of course, want to tackle from day one, and quite busy now as a team developing that plan. Just on the key principles of the operating model, I think I spoke to some of them. Synergies are quite an important element, but obviously keeping our let's say DNA prevalent from day one in the integrated business. On equity raising, Shane, you're going to cover some of the details of the offer and multiples.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's reasonably self-explanatory. The offer price of $1.10, representing a discount to the last close TERP and 5-day trading BWAP. In moving to the next slide, actually, or the next slide after that, actually, you can see some of the margins and coal sales that we're achieving relative to our peers, which I think gives a good indication of where we will be as a company post equity raise and post acquisition. We're effectively 100% coking coal. If there's any thermal, it's a byproduct only, representing no more than about 1% of sales. Achieved prices, given the quality of the coal being produced, quite strong relative to peers in the market as well, and also by virtue of the fact that we are such a high percentage, almost 100% met coal. that's leading to higher margins and higher EBITDA per ton. In looking at the multiples, using a guidance price of $250 per ton, which you can do your own assessment of where the spot prices are at the moment. It's quite a low multiple relative to Coronado and Whitehaven at the moment, translating into a pretty reasonable EV to EBITDA ratio there of 1.8.
So prices are going up still. Couldn't be better moment in the market. I think that, of course, this situation in Russia and Ukraine for the PCI market especially is just keeps coming up. Overnight was $20 up, so PCI now is $400, given that Russia is a bigger exporter of PCI and already sanctions and impacts in that coal flow. So quite an incredible moment for the PCI, for PCI producers as well. I mean, we're going to be a major one here with South Walker Creek as the benchmark PCI and the Poitrel Midcoal PCI as well. I think just moving to investment highlights, I think we spoke a bit about scale. That's based on our second half 22 annualized estimate on an operated tonnage basis. So it's quite a jump in that rank. And interesting to say that for us there is 100% met coal and all within 50 km. So we're going to be running assets that are so close to each other, Poitrel, Millennium, and Isaac Downs are basically neighboring. We have bound releases. It's quite obvious advantage and synergies from the angle of infrastructure sharing, equipment sharing, and of course people as well. So moving forward.
In terms of shareholder value, Marcelo, I was just going to say, we are going to take a disciplined approach to capital management. One thing that we have had is tremendous support from our majority shareholder over the journey since they entered our share registry. And in that time, they haven't taken any dividends. And so as a management team and together with the board, we've resolved to set a target dividend distribution of around 50% of available free cash flows. That enables us to reward our shareholders and provide those shareholder returns, whilst at the same time managing our liquidity and managing amortization of long-term debt. So we think that particularly in the current pricing environment, that could be very attractive to shareholders, but also enable us to get the balance right. And that's something that we're very happy to put as our policy going forward.
I think just for the sake of time, I will jump quickly through. I mean, assets and people. I spoke about the asset base that we are buying. It's a very heavily capitalized business, very asset rich, as you see here in slide 28. So. The value for these assets, if I recall, Shane, the insurance, the last insurance round was just north of $2.5 billion, the replacement value for the assets. So we are paying 1.2 for assets that would cost otherwise to replace for twice there. Quite an interesting position. On the product standpoint, we're going to have a world-class portfolio, very diverse portfolio with Millennium producing 60% of a hard coking coal and 40% of a mid bulk PCI. South Walker producing a low vol benchmark PCI, 100%. Poitrel producing a semi-hard coking coal 60%, and the balance being a mid-vol PCI, and Isaac Downs mid-vol semi-soft coking coal. All these products very well established in global markets. No sales to China, of course, for a while. Most of those volumes have been reallocated. That job has been done. The contract book has been stabilized since the China ban. We didn't have any volumes in China from a Stanmore standpoint. We understand that these assets, the BMC assets, had some volumes from China, but that the distribution has been done past 12 months or so, or 18 months. Quite a stable book in traditional markets like Japan, Korea, India, Taiwan, and also some volumes into Europe. So, mostly index-linked contracts from a price mechanics standpoint. No, let's say, legacy fixed contracts or anything like that that we found in due diligence. So, I think it's going to be a pretty smooth transition from a marketing standpoint, with the benefit of now us looking at also adding value through lands. There is opportunities to look at lands between the assets. They include, for example, land and Poitrel. They include Isaac Downs and Poitrel and the PCI lands that were already being promoted by BHP, and we want to continue with those.
Yeah, perhaps if we move forward to the guidance slide, which I'm sure a lot of people are interested in as well. So we have provided an estimate and some ranges of what we're expecting to see in the first. Well, we've got 2 months there, so that's the months of May and June 2022, and then 6 months to take us out to the end of the year. We've got the splits there between Isaac Plains, Poitrel, South Walker Creek, as well as pro forma, so the consolidated. I think it's important to point out here that on the capital expenditure, we do have not just sustaining capex, there is some project capital in there for a creek diversion, which is a very economic creek diversion. It was something that has been envisaged and that we support. So those numbers reflect that as well in the second half of December 2022, second half of this year.
And then you also include the residual capital for Isaac Downs and our upgrade in CHPP for Isaac Downs that I mentioned before. So, of course, once those are done, those are one-offs, and in Isaac Downs, it's just going to be sustaining going forward as well. So those numbers are a little higher on the Isaac Downs side as well than we would expect otherwise, let's say, in 2023 going forward.
Yep. And apologies to the $400 a ton was approximate current benchmark price, but since moved up since we finished this presentation.
Pretty bullish, and obviously we don't know where this price will land, but a pretty strong cash generating business, more than able to service our debt service obligations, our capital requirements, and of course generate shareholder value.
Great, that's been very helpful. Thank you, Marcelo and Shane. We might move over to the questions coming through the phone, if that's okay, please.
Sure.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question via the phones, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to ask a question via the webcast, please type your question into the Ask a Question box. We will pause momentarily for any phone questions to enter the queue. Once again, if you wish to ask a question via the phone, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no phone questions at this time. I'll hand over to Brett for the webcast questions.
Great, thank you. There are some questions that have come through online, so I'll just move through those quickly. Marcelo and Shane, have there been any weather impacts in the Bowen Basin and on production at the operations?
Yeah, we did have weather impacts, not more recently. I think more recently, most of the weather impacts are here in Southeast Queensland, but later, last year, in the beginning of January, there was quite a lot of water, and some, of course, affecting mostly excavated tracks and excavators and pre-strip, for example, but not major impacts. On our side, for example, mostly recovered, and we haven't heard of any significant impact in the BMC operation. The wet season is not over yet, though, but so far, nothing major.
Great, thank you. The next question is, are there any value-adding blending opportunities between the IDEC Plains coals and the BMC coals?
I believe so. I think we are already actually busy working on that, given we're going to be exporting through two ports, through Dimepole Bay and Abbot Point, and given that both ports have the opportunity to blend, but also, as we speak, we're already looking at the opportunity to wash some excess Isaac Downs coals in Red Mountain, for example, the Red Mountain wash plant that has spare capacity. So there's an opportunity for blends, including Poitrel Semi-Hard and the Isaac Downs product, the Millennium hard coking coal with the Poitrel Semi-Hard, the PCIs. So quite a few opportunities there that we are looking. That could be adding value opportunities, but also blends that could improve the marketability of some of the products as well. So, for example, the South Walker PCI is a very low vol, and the Indian market is not a big buyer of low vols, but there are blends that were already developed between the Poitrel Pit Ball PCI and the South Walker low vol to be able to do some of the South Walker products into the Indian market. So, yes, the answer is yes, and I'm very busy as we speak working on those things.
Great, thanks, Marcelo. The next question, have you made public the rehabilitation liability with the BMC assets, and how will that be carried by Stanmore Resources? Sorry.
Yeah, so on the rehabilitation.
Go on,
we do provide, as all mining companies do, for rehabilitation liabilities in balance sheet, and that's certainly going to be the case. No different at BMC and Stanmore. I guess in referring to rehabilitation requirements under the state government financial assurance regime, BMC will be included in the state government scheme. So on that basis, there'll be no obligation to put up a surety or bank guarantee or bond in relation to that, which is the same case for Stanmore actually at the moment. Instead, they'll just be an amount that we pay into the scheme, calculated as a percentage of the total liability. And that's the only obligation in that regard.
Great. Thank you, Shane. Are you able to quantify what sort of cost benefits you might expect to achieve based on the BHP cost structure relative to how Stanmore will run these operations going forward?
Well, I think that's Shane.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly opportunities for cost improvements. That was just something that we have recognised through the due diligence process and also believe that our current operating model would support. I think certainly Stanmore is currently being operated on a very lean basis from a corporate overhead viewpoint, and we see no need to significantly change that model. We will, of course, be needing to upskill or bulk up some areas, but we'll be keeping a tight rein on that. And then we also feel that there's an opportunity for us as an organisation to perhaps look at things a little bit more closely and be a little bit more nimble and opportunistic with processes and mine plans, such that we can lower overall costs. We haven't publicised a set target that we're going for publicly, but we do have opportunities there that we believe we can realise.
Great.
I think just to add to that briefly, I think on the capital side of things, that's another one as well, because I think we're pretty confident that we'll be able to deliver some of the capital projects going forward, including sustaining, including the river, the creek diversion at South Walker at a lot lower capital as well.
Thanks, Marcelo. Can you quickly talk about the historical PCI discount and what it is currently, given how rapidly the PCI price has risen?
PCI normally is priced at the relativity to premium low vol coking coal. Most products are normally priced at the relativity to that at the top line category. That relativity varies depending on market headline prices, but also on the fundamental supply demand for the individual products. What's happening in PCI now is quite unusual, right? Which is a supply disruption driven by Russia, which means that there's an increase now relativity of PCI relative to chemical control, triggered by that disruption. So that's not very usual. Normally what we see normally is when coking coal prices are very high, the PCI price, all the other categories, they tend to, the relative tend to be a bit lower, where coking coal are a lot lower, then the relativity is higher, or supported by cost. Our product specifically, the South Walker Creek, is a premium of OPCI based price in line with the benchmark PCI. So look at spot prices. If we were to be selling spot prices today, the low vol PCI index is the main reference for that product, because it doesn't have any discount to from a value in use standpoint to the benchmark references, where the Poitrel one is a mid vol PCI, which normally has a lower price, like a small discount to the reference low vol. It's quite a fantastic type of PCI. Not a lot of new supply coming to the market. In Australia, not many projects all over PCI. Some of the existing operations are facing more challenges going forward with a higher cost and higher strip ratio. South Walker Creek being a fantastic position, competitive position. A low cost operation, long life market reserves.
Great. Thank you, Marcelo. And Shane, we'll just take the final question now. There are quite a few that have lined up, but in the interest of time, we'll just do one more final question. Shane, you mentioned earlier that there was a cash flow sweep mechanism in the acquisition debt facility. Will that enable that debt to be repaid quite early at current prices?
Yeah, that's right, Brad. There's a cash flow sweep mechanism which effectively looks at 25% of free cash flow after debt service at the SMC holdco company level. Now, that cash flow sweep can flex up to 37.5% in times of significant cash flows. So with the current pricing, particularly the current spot price at the moment, if that was to hold up for a period of time, that would certainly accelerate the amortization of the facility. We'd have to wait to see where those prices come through at, but that's the way it effectively works.
Great, thank you. And thank you, gentlemen, for your time today. We might wrap it up there, operator. And I just thank everyone for their time and the questions that have come through online this morning.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.